Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. I am your host, Kylie Gable, and we are dead set in the middle of October, and October means two things. First, Halloween, the national sissy holiday. Hope we have some wonderful costume ideas out there. And in addition, it is also Locktober, which I don't really celebrate. I've been in chastity one time in my life, and by one time, I mean multiple months, but one experience, and that was not my favorite thing. At 18, I had way too much sexual energy for that. However, I know there are a lot of people who actually celebrate this particular month, that is why this week's story is actually a story about chastity. It is about a guy who wakes up after a one-night stand and finds himself in a chastity cage with a note to meet this particular woman at noon at a coffee shop. And that, of course, begins a two-part wild adventure involving feminization, female domination, all those good things, as well as chastity. It was written and is narrated by Pamela Harlow, and I hope you enjoy.
Feminized in Chastity, Part 1, The Coffee Shop, by Pamela Harlow and Kylie Gable. 1. Lisa. It's Saturday morning. I've just left the house in my brand new leather jacket, and I'm feeling hot, not to mention powerful. It's not sunny, but my sunglasses are firmly over my eyes and my lipstick-covered lips are fixed in a smile. I walk into the bookshop first. There's nothing I'm looking for in particular, but I usually find it's a good way to kill some time before I meet the girls. After smiling half-heartedly at the shop assistant, who always seems a bit too eager to engage in conversation, I pick up one of this week's bestsellers and pretend to read the blurb. Ordinarily, I wouldn't have to pretend. I love books, but today I can't concentrate on so much as a sentence. Last night was just too wild. We were at the bar, the girls and I, when this obviously drunk guy approached us. He was around our age, 21, and he obviously thought himself a bit of a stud. Wearing designer jeans and t-shirt, he evidently had a bit of cash too. Mummies and daddies, no doubt. We'd all told him we weren't interested, in no uncertain terms, but he just wouldn't leave it. At one point, he'd even stood next to our table and just danced, all by himself. He was doing pelvic thrusts into the table and everything. It was funny at first, but we soon got sick of him. That's when I decided to take matters into my own hands. And that's what got us where we are now. Or should I say, got him where he is now. I'm not in any kind of a predicament. I'm free and in charge, and it feels good. Can I help you? I glare at the shop assistant before fixing my face into a smile that I want him to know is fake. Do you have anything about? I think about what might embarrass him. The female orgasm? The shop assistant coughs a little and looks down. His face has suddenly turned pink. Have you tried biology, perhaps? I look around, shrugging, then stare straight at him again. I'll show you, he says, still blushing. I smirk as I follow him to the biology section of the shop. You know, I say, as the books on animals and the human body are in front of me, I think I might be looking for something more philosophical, perhaps, on female sexuality. Maybe something sociological, I don't know. What can you recommend? The assistant looks around desperately. I think my colleague here is better qualified to discuss this, he says, clearly relieved by the sudden appearance of an older female colleague. What's that? She says, smiling warmly. The assistant rushes off, leaving me to respond. I have to go, I tell the woman, laughing. She flashes me a mild, dirty look, and I'm out the door. Free again, oh so very free, unlike our friend from last night. 2. Guy. I wake up cold and shaking. As soon as I open my eyes, I close them again. My mouth tastes like the inside of an old bin. What the fuck happened last night? All I know is, I'm not at home. This isn't my bed. However, I am alone right now, which is something. It gives me time to think, time to figure out what the hell is going on. I slowly open my eyes and see a digital clock on the white bedside table beside me. It's next to a bottle of perfume, definitely girl's perfume. Did I get lucky? It's 11 a.m, yikes, it must have been a late one. But what did I do? I reach down for my cock, it's a habit. Also, nobody is here right now, and everyone knows how good masturbation is for a hangover. My hand hovers over what would normally be morning wood, and I get a shock. Cold metal. Shaken out of my hungover sleepiness, I throw the duvet off me and look down. What the fuck? I exclaim. Then again, louder. What the fuck? Hello? Hello? Are you there? Nobody responds. I spot a small piece of paper rolled up into the chastity cage that's trapping my flaccid penis. I wonder what would happen were I to get an erection. I'm scared to find out. I wonder who did this to me. And an image of a girl with black hair starts to form in my mind. My shaking hands unroll the note with haste. Meet me at Lily's coffee shop at 12 o'clock. Don't be late. L. Kiss. L. L. That's right. A girl called Lisa. A girl called Lisa with black hair and big tits. She brought me back here. She was all over me. She undressed me, I remember now. Did we have sex? I can't remember. I look down at my small drooping cock inside this crazy cage and know the answer. I swear, my sad cock shakes its head at me. I shake my own head, quickly, as though it will help with the hangover. I instantly regret it. It makes me feel nauseous. I rush out of the room, and to my relief, a bathroom is right in front of me. I throw up into the toilet, loudly and plentifully. After emptying myself, I look into the mirror. It's a horrific sight before me. There are a couple of fresh spots on my face that I squeeze with urgency before washing my face with my hands. My eyes are bloodshot, the red contrasting starkly with my blue eyes, and my dark hair is looking scraggly, desperate for a cut. I look down again at my trapped cock, wondering why and what I'm going to do. There's a small padlock on it, which I'm assuming Lisa has the key for. Maybe that's why she's telling me to meet her, so she can give it to me. It must be that, mustn't it? I feel a slight wave of relief. After brushing my teeth with my index finger, I return to the unfamiliar bedroom. Memories are starting to return from last night. We kissed here, I'm sure we did. But Lisa pushed me down onto the bed and took off my clothes. I remember being excited. I thought we were going to fuck, but I can't remember taking off anything of hers. I remember her laughing. Oh God, could I not get it up for her? Maybe that's why she locked my cock in this cage. I wish more than anything that I wasn't so hungover. I look around on the floor for my clothes. Sure enough, my Levi jeans are there, screwed up in a ball underneath my Nike trainers. I would never screw them up like that, or put shoes on top of them, however drunk I was. Lisa must have done it. I pick them up and keep looking around for my Calvin Klein boxers. They are nowhere to be seen, so I pull the jeans on and go commando, apart from the cage, that is. I find my black Ralph Lauren t-shirt and put that on too. I spray a bit of the girl's perfume around my armpits. That's the best I can do until I get home. It's 11:45 and I better go. I need to get the key off this crazy girl and make sure she's not going to tell anybody about any of this. 3. Guy. When I walk into Lily's coffee shop, I spot the girl from last night right away. She's sat in the corner, looking amazingly fresh considering she was out last night, wearing a perfectly fitting leather jacket and smiling broadly in bright red lipstick. Her tits still look great too. I feel a swell of pride at having pulled, or almost pulled, her last night, but it's overshadowed by the horror and disappointment of seeing that she's not alone. Of course she's not, I scold myself. Girls are never on their own, for fuck's sake. I hover sheepishly in the doorway, staring at her. I know she's noticed me, but she's pretending not to have. I walk over to the counter, feigning confidence. Americano, please, I say, hands still shaking. The barista glances at my hand and raises an eyebrow. Heavy night? I say nothing. Where are you seated? I'll bring it over. I point at the table Lisa and her friends are sitting at and start to walk over. I shove my hands into my pockets and take a secret feel through my pocket at the chastity cage. I'm suddenly desperately horny. I need this gone, now. Hey, I say as casually as possible. Lisa turns to me with a grin. Hello, she shouts, drawing attention to the table. You're late, she adds sternly, causing my heart to race. Sit down, she instructs me. Although she's smiling, a huge Cheshire Cat smile, she's impossible to read. I have no idea what she's thinking or feeling right now, or what I should think or feel. I got your note, I say quietly, before briefly looking at her two friends and smiling. Were they there last night? I don't think so. Lisa just nods, her eyes penetrating mine. Good, she says. I have something else for you, but not yet. First, let me introduce you to Lucy and Haley. I look at them both. Do they know about what's going on beneath my jeans? Oh, God. The three of them are so hot. I feel myself starting to get hard, but the cage won't allow it. As my cock pushes against the cage, I feel nothing but pain and pressure. I soon start to lose my erection. I'm wincing as I experience this, right in front of the three girls. Everything okay, guy? Says Lisa. She glances at my crotch and smirks. I gulp down half my coffee in one go. You have something for me, I say. I'm assuming she means the key. She must do, right? Lisa laughs and sips her cappuccino. We do, yes, she says. She points at a bag beneath the table. I shake my head in confusion. You do have the thing, I say. Lisa screws up her face. The thing, she says. Yes, I say, ignoring the other two girls and staring straight at her. You know the... I look around before whispering. The key. Lisa laughs loudly, drawing more attention to the table. Oh, the naivety, she says, before pulling out a pack of cigarettes and putting one in her mouth. Come on, girls, she says. We'll be back. Watch our stuff. The girls disappear outside with their cigarettes, leaving me baffled and, by now, coffeeless. I look at the bag she pointed at and wonder what could possibly be in there of mine. I know better than to help myself to a glance, though. Anxiously, I wait until I'm told.
Kylie got an email from Spotify last month warning him about adult content on the podcast. For now, there is no problem, but we do have to be careful about what we put on the free podcast so that we can stay podcasting. Scenes that might have been allowed before might be a bit dangerous for us. It's one of the reasons that the premium podcast is so important. Because you subscribe to listen, we don't have to worry about content limits, so we can include much more titillating scenes. Premium subscribers get the entire audio, and not just a clip. That includes all the good parts, and the shows don't just disappear when we're done with them. There's something like 30 hours of content in the archives accessible when you subscribe. It's $15 a month, and we know that's not in everybody's budget, but if you're interested, check out the Premium Feminization Boudoir on Spotify, or check out the link in this show's description.
4. Lisa. It's hilarious watching this guy, squirm. After Haley, Lucy and I stub out our menthols, I tell them what I have planned for him. Lucy puts her hand to her mouth. No way, she says. You're joking. I'm not joking, I say, laughing and grabbing her arm. I think he deserves it, to be honest, says Haley seriously. Her seriousness has always had a way of amusing me further. I laugh again. Absolutely, I say. So you're not going to give him the key, says Lucy. I shrug. Not yet, I tell her. When? She asks, to my irritation. I don't know. I'm just following the creative flow, you know. Lucy looks at me in disbelief. I love you, she says, but you're mad. I love you too, I say, meaning it. Now, come on, let's continue the squirm fest. We can have him pay for our drinks too. As we walk towards the table, us, the three musketeers, it's clear that Guy doesn't know where to look. He's quite literally squirming with discomfort as we return to sit beside him, self-consciously nursing his empty mug. I stare straight into the mug to make him feel even more self-conscious. In that bag, I tell him, are your tights and panties? He looks at the bag, then at me, and shakes his head. No, he says, that's not me. I don't have them. That's not mine. I smile at him, faux kindly. Oh, but they are, I tell him. Lucy and Haley giggle. No, he says, they're not mine, honestly. They're a gift, I say, before lifting the bag theatrically and handing it to him. From me to you. He holds the bag as though it might explode. Thanks, he says unsurely. Good, I say. You're to put these on in the toilets. Guy opens the bag slightly and stares at the red lacy panties and a nude pair of tights. What? He says. You will wear these, I repeat, and don't make me say anything else twice. I don't understand, says Guy. I just came here for the key. You know, the key. I nod slowly. If you want any chance of getting that key any time soon, I say, you'll do as I say. It seems to suddenly dawn upon Guy that he is under my control. About time. Really? He asks, but he knows the answer. I'll need your phone number too, I tell him, pulling out my own phone. I watch his eyes dart from side to side as he considers giving me a false number, then thinks better of it. This cage, he says, looking around again to check nobody is listening. Where did you get it from? I shake my head. I'm not telling you, I say, and even if I did, all the locks are different, smart guy. Not so smart, Lucy mutters. Not so smarty pants, adds Haley. They both laugh. I look at Guy again. 077-546-59981, he says, too quickly. Slower, I tell him. 077, he says. 546, I nod. 599-81, I finish. He nods. I save the number Guy has given me as drunk twat and give it a call. Sure enough, his phone starts to buzz. He picks it up out of his pocket and shows it to me. Save my number, I instruct him, as mistress. Guy laughs, then tries to disguise it with a cough. He saves my number, mistress, then shows me the phone again. Good, I say. Now go change. Guy looks into the bag again and takes a deep breath. He glances over at the toilets in the corner of the room. Gents, ladies, and disabled. Go in the gents, as usual, I tell him, and hurry. Guy grips onto the red carrier bag containing the lingerie and walks into the gents' toilets. I look at my two friends' drinks and prompt them to hurry. Are we not waiting for him? Haley asks. No need, I tell her. We all drink up and head out of the coffee shop. That was something, says Lucy. I nod proudly. The start of something, I correct her. I see a slight concern in her face, but in a moment we're all distracted again. I'll deal with Guy on my own for the rest of the day and beyond. I expect him to call in around 7 minutes, right after he realises that we're not just outside having a cigarette and we've left him with the bill. 5. Guy. I've locked myself in the cubicle. The only other times I've been in cubicles in public toilets are for emergency shits and emergency wanks. There's absolutely no chance of the latter with this fucking device attached to me. I pull at it, trying to remove it whilst also trying not to significantly damage myself. It's no use. That bitch knew what she was doing. There's no way of getting this off without the key. I briefly consider taking myself to A&E to see if they can sort me out. They must have dealt with this kind of thing before, right? But I quickly talk myself out of it. I can't justify going in there with this when there are people who have had actual accidents and are in emergencies. Besides, even if I went private, I couldn't deal with the embarrassment. I've already had enough of that. Still feeling weak from my hangover, I sit down on the closed toilet. Somebody goes in the cubicle next to me and I suppress a groan. I pray they don't make a smell. My stomach is far too sensitive. With a new sense of urgency, I pull the red panties out of the bag. They're small, but not so small I won't be able to pull them up over my thighs. I can tell that straight away. Sighing, I stand up, take off my jeans and put them, folded, on the toilet lid. I step into the panties and look around paranoidly, checking I locked the door. The cage is visible through the panties and I can't help but feel sorry for myself. What have I got myself into? I look at the skin-coloured tights. I try to put them on like a pair of socks, but soon realise it isn't happening. I groan with frustration, and I'm thankful for the sound of the flusher in the next door cubicle, masking it. I have a vague memory of my mother rolling up her tights before stepping into them and pulling them on. I sit back on the toilet lid and imagine I'm her, doing the same. I wonder what she would think of me doing this. I refuse to dwell on that thought. I stand up and pull the tights up to my waist. The crotch of them is too low, but my patience is running out. I pick up my jeans and pull them on anyway, which actually seems to push the tights up. Closing the button on my jeans and stepping back into my trainers, I pull the flusher and throw away the plastic bag into the empty bin in the corner. I've always wondered what that bin's supposed to be for. Nobody ever uses it. I unlock the door and walk out as normally as I can, but I feel weird in women's underwear. Not to mention the cage. I wash my hands and avoid eye contact with an older man who walks in. I rush out of the toilets and return to the cafe. Looking around, it soon becomes apparent that the girls aren't there. I stare at the table we were at, which is now littered with empty cups. I walk there and sit down, glancing out the window to see if I can see them. Perhaps they're having a cigarette. 5 minutes pass and it's clear, they've gone. A friendly waitress comes over and asks me if I'd like the bill. She looks a little sympathetic, so I try to act as though it were always planned. Oh, yes, I thought they'd told you I'd be waiting for it, I lie with a forced smile. The waitress does a small smile in return and looks away nervously. She doesn't say a word as she turns to walk away and retrieve the piece of paper. I anxiously grip onto my pocket, thankful that my wallet is there. When she returns with the bill for £35, I pay it right away and even give her a £5 tip. I've obviously been brought up to keep appearances. The waitress gives me a bigger smile than before and starts to clear the table. Taking my cue, I stand up to leave the coffee shop and pick up my phone. As I walk, I remain oh so aware of the cage, panties and tights. I have to concentrate hard on looking normal. My phone is a good prop for this, so I stare down at the screen. The last call received on my phone, mistress. I hit dial. 6. Lisa. I feel my phone buzzing inside my jeans pocket and my smile returns. Here we go, I say to neither of the girls in particular and take my time answering it. Hello, I answer, finally. Lucy and Haley giggle, watching me in anticipation. Of course we left you with the bill, I answer, shrugging my shoulders dramatically. What do you expect? After last night, that's the least you can do.
That was Pamela Harlow reading a clip from her own story entitled Feminized in Chastity Part 1. Part 2 will be on next week. Now, one thing I wanted to tell you is, if you heard that little announcement from Mistress DJ in the middle of this podcast, she kind of's right. Putting more adult content on the podcast can be a little tricky with Spotify. This episode, and particularly talking about things like chastity and erections and things, I had to be extremely careful. And so I cut this episode about 4 or 5 minutes earlier than I normally would have. There will be, the whole audio will be available on Clips for Sale as usual Tuesday, by Tuesday, I think. And next week, as I said, will be the second part of this audio. I hope you're enjoying it, and I hope you have a great week. And I will be back next week. I hope you will be too. Bye-bye.